Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Matthew chapter 19. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came into the borders of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, tempting him and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said unto them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two of them shall be one flesh. Therefore they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man put asunder.'" And they said unto him, "Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away?" And he said to them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whoever shall put away his wife except for fornication and shall marry another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is put away commits adultery." His disciples said unto him, "If this is the case of the man with his wife, it is not good to marry." But he said to them, "All men cannot receive this saying, except those to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs who were born so from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to receive it, let him receive it." Then little children were brought to him, and he put his hand upon them, and prayed, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Allow the little children to come unto me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands upon them, and departed from there. And behold, one came and said to him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these things from my youth up. What do I lack yet?" And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and ye shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Then who can be saved? But Jesus looked upon them and said to them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to him, Behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. Therefore, what shall we have? And Jesus said to them, Verily I say unto you, that you who have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has forsaken houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100 times, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many who are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us.
Lesson 19, The Values of Jesus. In today's lesson, we shall learn about what Jesus values. We shall discover that Jesus places value on marriage, on children, on eternal life, and on service for God. If we value what Jesus values, then we shall discover not only a successful life in this world, but also an abundant reward in heaven. A man's life is largely defined by the things which he values, for these will shape his decisions, his character, and ultimately his destiny, as we shall see in our lesson. Jesus values marriage and teaches some important things about marriage. Firstly, he will tell us that in the beginning God made both a man and woman and brought them together to be united as one flesh. This is very important for us to understand. For when a man and a woman are joined in physical union, they are said to become one flesh, and therefore sexual relations are to be reserved for marriage alone. Sex outside of marriage is always sin, and God will judge those who practice sexual immorality. Jesus also teaches us that a marriage is not only recognized by God, but also joined together by God. And therefore what God has joined, no man should separate. That would be fighting against God. The only allowance God would make for a man divorcing his wife was in the case of adultery. In this case, a married person is biblically allowed to divorce their married partner, although they might also choose to forgive if their partner has confessed, forsaken, and sought forgiveness for their sin. Divorce is never pleasing to God and should always be the last resort, and only when the adulterer refuses to repent. If someone divorces for any reason other than adultery and they marry another, they are considered an adulterer. And if someone marries one who is unlawfully divorced, then they also are considered an adulterer. God holds all marriage as a sacred covenant, not to be broken, and all people should respect marriage, whether it is their own marriage or someone else's marriage. Never be guilty of destroying what God has brought together. The disciples were concerned after hearing Jesus teach about marriage, for they feared that marriage was too difficult for men to manage. If they were not allowed to divorce their wives, They suggested it might be better not to marry at all. Jesus answered them and said that some could accept being single as an option to help them serve the kingdom of God, but this would not be acceptable to most men. Some men are eunuchs by birth or by choice. This means some men have been damaged, or that they cannot have sex or have children, or some simply choose not to marry so that they can give their heart and time entirely to God. It is not easy for men to make this choice, but some do so, and God will honor those who honor Him and love Him. Daniel of the Old Testament is an example of a man who was a eunuch and lived a life entirely dedicated to God. Jesus also values children. As we learned also in Matthew chapter 18, when some people brought their children to Jesus, asking Him to bless their children, the disciples rebuked them. Perhaps the disciples were like so many people who think children are an annoyance and need to be chased away. Jesus was not happy with His disciples and was glad to bless the children and place His hands on them. He loved the children and said no one should forbid them from coming to Him. He said that the kingdom of God was for these little ones. This teaches us something very important about small children. They are under God's protection and spared from judgment, for they have not yet reached an age of accountability before God. If a young child should die, they would be taken to heaven, their sin being graciously covered through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. When a child reaches the age where they can understand the gospel and they still reject God's salvation, then they will be held accountable before God for their sins and could end up in hell if they die without accepting Jesus as their Savior. Just think of the many young children around you, and when you look into their little faces, remember, you are looking at the citizens of heaven. This should make us careful of how we treat little children, for they belong to God and His kingdom. A young man came to Jesus to seek eternal life. He called Jesus good and wanted to know what good things he could do to gain eternal life. Jesus immediately addresses the problem of the young man's perception of what is good. He thought he was good and could do something good to get to heaven. Jesus has to quickly point out that only God is good. When Jesus puts him to the test of whether he has kept God's commands, he claims he has done all these things since his youth. So Jesus tests him a little further and asked him to sell all his possessions, give his money to the poor, and then come and follow him. The young man went away sad, for he had great possessions. The man wanted eternal life, but he did not value it more than his possessions. Maybe he thought eternal life could be bought for a cheap price. Eternal life is a free gift for those who want it, but it did not come to us at a cheap price. Christ had to suffer and die for our sins so that we might receive this gift. To receive God's salvation requires an entire change of attitude about life and values. No longer does the follower of Jesus care about riches in this world, but he only cares about serving God and storing up treasure in heaven. A man who loves riches is a man who will likely never make it to heaven. Jesus said it would be easier to pass a camel through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The problem is that a man must let go of all his earthly trust in riches before he can enter the gate of heaven. If he tries to cling to anything, it will keep him from entering heaven. The lesson is clear. Unless a man is willing to forsake all that this world offers, he will never be able to receive God's salvation. Peter speaks up at this point and asks the Lord what reward the disciples would receive, for they had left all their jobs, family, and everything else to follow the Lord. Jesus said, for them, they would sit on 12 thrones with him in his kingdom, and judge over the 12 tribes of Israel. He also added that if anyone leaves his family or his possessions to make Christ known, he would receive abundantly in this life and enjoy eternal life as well. God will richly reward those who make sacrifices for his kingdom and glory. We conclude with this verse. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Now for today's Bible question. Today we have been learning about what Jesus values, including marriage, children, eternal life, and service for God. We also learned about how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. Someone might ask the question, is it wrong to want to have more money? Money is not man's problem. It is his heart's desire for it that is the problem. There are very few people who have learned to have the right attitude towards money. Even many Christians have failed to demonstrate their trust in God and can fall into the trap of covetousness, selfishness, and the love of money and things. We might ask ourselves why we want to have more money. Is it because God has not been good to us? Because he has not fed or clothed us? Sometimes we expect to live with not only comfort, but also in some degree of luxury before we think we will be happy. No matter how much money you have, you will never be content. You will always seek after more of it. This is because money does not give us security, at least the security that we really need, and that is the security of our soul. What does it matter if I have all the money in the world and yet do not know God? When I die, the money will do me no good. Because our hearts are so deceitful, we want to believe that we can follow after God and still follow after riches in this world. Let's be perfectly clear about what the Bible teaches about this. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Do not love money. And do not think that if you had only a little bit more of it, then everything would be okay. Having more means more responsibility and also more worries about losing what you have. If we have the right attitude towards money, we shall see it as God's provision for our needs and see ourselves as stewards or managers of His money. This will cause us to be wise and use money in a way that brings honor and glory to the Lord. Selfishness is not godly and should not characterize any of God's children. Although men are by nature quite selfish, the Christian should be led by the Holy Spirit to share and lend assistance to others. When we have a heart of generosity, then God may allow us to handle more resources, not to use it on ourselves, but to help others in need. Many people want to pursue higher education so that they can get a good job and a better life for themselves and their family. This seems like a good goal in life, but we should be careful in advising young people not to seek after riches just so they can be rich or so they can feel secure in a world that offers little security, the greatest advice we can give to a young person starting out in life is to put their trust in the Lord and allow Him to guide their lives. He may call them to have much or to have little, but if they have Him, they will have all the riches they need for this life and for the next. Remember, many rich people in the end will be ashamed because of their selfish living, while many poor people will be honored because they had their trust in the Lord. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Matthew chapter 19, verse 30. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.bibleassemblychurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name." And also in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. Oh, 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 I try to rectify my hopeless situation, but I bother, I still have work to do. But there is no condemnation. Oh, we die to rectify my hopeless situation, and his blood commands my guilt to leave. Now on Calvary I stand, empty pockets, open hands. Oh, there is no condemnation. Forgiven in love, child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved, child, you're forgiven in love.